السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہ قولی. ربنا زدنا علما. جزء نمبر 7.
وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ، يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. وَمَا لَنَا لَا نُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَنَطْمَعُ أَنْ يُدْخِلَنَا رَبُّنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الصَّالِحِينَ. فَأَثَابَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَالُوا جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا، وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
And when they hear what has been revealed to the messenger, you see their eyes overflowing with tears because of what they have recognized of the truth. The fact is that the more a person listens to the truth attentively, to the speech of Allah, to the word of Allah, the more he is affected by it. The deeper it penetrates into his heart. And so his eyes also swell up with tears. They say, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. They say, our Lord, we have believed, so register us among the witnesses. Immediately upon hearing the Qur'an, they say, Ya Rabb, we believe. They listen to the Qur'an. They believe in it. They act upon it. وَمَا لَنَا لَا نُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَنَطْمَعُ أَن يُدْخِلَنَا رَبُّنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الصَّالِحِينَ. And why should we not believe in Allah and what has come to us of the truth? And we aspire that our Lord will admit us to paradise with the righteous people. The more a person desires, hopes, and wishes to be of the righteous, of those who are beloved to Allah, the more attentively and seriously will he listen to the speech of Allah, the kalam of Allah, with greater love, with greater interest, and with full regard and also contemplation, so that more and more avenues of good works open up to him, so that he can mold his life according to what pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. So, over here we see that there are some people, when they listen to the Qur'an, they say, why should we not believe? They believe. Listening to the Qur'an increases them in faith. And what is their hope? That they should be amongst the righteous. They should be amongst al-qawm al-salihin, the righteous people. فَأَثَابَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَالُوا جَنَّاتٍ. So Allah rewarded them for what they said with gardens in paradise, beneath which rivers flow. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah rewarded them for what they said with gardens in paradise beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally. And that is the reward of the doers of good. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. But those who disbelieved and denied our signs, they are the companions of hellfire. We see over here that the words, the speech of a person, they can take him either to Jannah or they can take him to hellfire. Good speech is something that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it also brings Allah's forgiveness. Because here we see, فَأَثَابَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَالُوا. Allah rewarded them, Allah will reward them. Why? Because of what they said, because of their words. So there are some people who are being rewarded heavily. Why? Because of the words that they have uttered. And at the same time, there are some other people who will be punished. Why? Because of the words that they have said. So we see that good speech, correct speech, saying the truth, speaking the truth, is something that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that of the things that make Allah's forgiveness wajib, what does wajib mean? Mandatory. That it necessitates that Allah's forgiveness must come upon a person. So of the things that make Allah's forgiveness wajib are saying the salam as well as speaking good speech. Two things bring Allah's forgiveness, definitely bring Allah's forgiveness. First of all, greeting others with salam. And secondly, good speech. The Prophet ﷺ was also asked that what is it that makes Jannah wajib? What is it that makes paradise obligatory? And he said, عَلَيْكَ بِحُسْنِ الْكَلَامِ وَبَذْلِ الطَّعَامِ. You must adhere to good speech and also feeding others. Meaning as long as you do this, inshaAllah, Jannah is promised to you. Now this seems very simple, that it's such an easy way to get to Jannah. Just speak well. But in reality, speaking good requires a lot of determination. It requires a lot of patience. It requires a lot of positivity. It requires a lot of big-heartedness. Because generally what happens? Our speech is instantly affected by our thoughts, our mental state. So if in our heart we are angry, we are irritated, in our mind we're thinking negatively about other people, then what is going to happen? Naturally, negative speech is going to come out of our mouths. But if we are being patient and tolerant, then of course we can speak good words. What happens is that we try to control the environment that is around us, which is not possible. What we can do is control the state of our heart, and that is called sabr. And when a person controls the state of his heart, only then can his speech also change. Now we see that fasting in the month of Ramadan, and also outside of Ramadan, fasting, it is all about controlling oneself. It's all about controlling one's impulses, natural desires. That as soon as you want to eat something, you don't eat it. You want to drink a sip, but you don't drink it. The water is in your mouth because you're doing wudu. You could easily take a drop or two inside. But what do? You resist. You stop yourself. This is exactly what it means to fast. Because fasting is about controlling oneself. And likewise, when it comes to speech, what does fasting teach us? That we do not allow our speech to be affected by what is going on around us. The Prophet ﷺ said that in paradise there are rooms. In paradise there are rooms or houses whose inside can be seen from the outside and the outside can be seen from the inside. Now this may seem like very normal to us, but have you ever been to an apartment building or a very nice hotel room that you paid heavy money for, but then what happens? You open up the shutters and what do you see? Another building staring at you. So there's no beautiful view. There's no good view. But in Jannah, the houses are such that the outside, meaning what is outside, gardens, they can be seen from the inside. And vice versa also. So when the Prophet ﷺ described these places, a Bedouin man, he said, Ya Rasulullah, who are these for? Who's gonna get it? As if somebody's offering some real estate for free. So immediately you ask, what's the price? How much is it for? So this man said, who's gonna go there? And the Prophet ﷺ said, for the one who speaks clean. Clean words, clean speech. طيب كلام. طيب كلام is not just good. You know that طيب also means that which is clean and pure. So clean, pure speech. Because sometimes we can speak in a very good way, in a very nice way. But the words, if they're analyzed, they're not clean. The one who speaks good words, clean words, who feeds others and prays in the night when people are asleep. This is the person who will be granted this reward in Jannah. So we see over here that these people, when they heard the Qur'an, what did they say? They said good words. What were those good words? رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا. Our Lord, we have believed. And remember that the best speech is of the one who calls people to Allah. The best speech is of the one who declares his faith in Allah, calling people to Allah. Because in Surah Fussilat, Allah says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech than the one who calls people to Allah? And he does good deeds himself. And he says that I am of those who submit. So the one thing that is mentioned over here is bima qalu. Their words were good. Their words were excellent. Allah loved their words. And here we need to see the words that we say, are they also beloved to Allah? Are they also liked by Allah? And secondly, we see that in their du'as, what are they expressing? Their desire for righteous company. فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ and مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الصَّالِحِينَ. So we see that they desired righteous company. Because if we sit amongst righteous people, then what will happen? Our iman will be refreshed. It will be re-energized. And what will happen? We will develop the ability to inshallah be patient, more tolerant, more controlling of our tongue. And naturally, we'll be able to say good words also. But when we sit amongst different people, then what happens? We become like them. If we sit in the company of those people who talk negatively about the deen of Allah, who do not like Ramadan, Ramadan is not even here and they say, we don't like Ramadan, then what is going to happen? This speech is going to affect us. And the next thing we know, the same kind of words are going to come from our mouth also. So we see that these people wanted good words, they said good words and they wanted good company. So Allah promises them Jannah. Why? Because in Jannah are both of these things. Good company as well as good speech. So much so that لا تسمع فيها لاغية. You will not hear in Jannah any annoying, disturbing, extra noise, sound. This is how beautiful Jannah is. So this is what these people will get. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who have believed, do not prohibit the good things which Allah has made lawful to you, and do not transgress. Indeed, Allah does not like the transgressors. And eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good. For speech, select the best. For food also, select the best. And fear Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ Fear Allah in whom you are believers. If you believe in Allah, then why don't you fear Him? We see that the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to His servants in this world, like food, drink, etc., if a person acquires them lawfully and enjoys them, then there is absolutely no harm in that. Why? Because he is doing that with the fear of Allah. In the way that he acquired it, he feared Allah. In the way that he used it, he feared Allah. Allah will not impose blame upon you for what is meaningless in your oaths. But He will impose blame upon you for breaking what you intended of oaths. So its expiation is the feeding of 10 needy people from the average of that which you feed your own families, or clothing them, or the freeing of a slave. This is the kafara for what? For the words that a person had uttered. For the oath that he took and then he broke. This is how serious a person has to be about his speech. Because the effects are very, very serious near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if a person just says, Wallahi, and he intends it at that time, by Allah, Wallahi, how many words are these? Just two, wa and ism jalala. Two words. If a person has said it, and then he goes contrary to it, he acts contrary to it, then there is an expiation. He has to pay a fine. There are ramifications. So what do we see? That a person must be very, very careful about the words that he utters. If these are the ramifications in this world, then imagine the words that we say, which are so heavy on other people, what would be the ramifications of those words in the hereafter? But whoever cannot find or afford it, then a fast of 3 days is required. That is the expiation for oaths when you have sworn. But guard your oaths. Meaning when you have said something, then adhere to it. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses, that you may be grateful. O you who have believed, indeed, intoxicants, gambling, sacrificing on stone altars to other than Allah, and divining arrows are all but defilement from the work of shaitan. These are all dirty things, filthy things, works of shaitan. So what should you do? You should avoid it. Why? So that you may be successful. Why? Because all of these things that are mentioned over here, what do they take a person to? Loss and failure, harm and destruction in this life and in the next. Even though at the beginning or here temporarily, there is some temporary benefit, there is some temporary enjoyment. When a person drinks alcohol, or when a person has some haram substance that will intoxicate him, then at that time, yes, there is some fun, there is some enjoyment, there is some pleasure. But in the long run, there is only destruction. The Prophet ﷺ said, اِجْتَنِبُ الْخَمْرَ فَإِنَّهَا مِفْتَاحٌ كُلَّ شَرٍ. Keep away from khamr. Keep away from intoxicants. Why? For it is the key to every evil. It is the key to every evil. It will not take you to good. It will definitely take you to what is evil for you in this life and in the next. Another thing that's mentioned over here is gambling, which is a very quick and easy way of earning money. How? By just playing a game. Now at that time again, it seems like fun. However, in the long run, it is a cause of great harm for a person. And then thirdly, what is mentioned over here is sacrificing on stole altars, meaning to other than Allah, and then divining arrows also. All of these works are what? They are from shaitan. So, O believers, you avoid it. Why? Because shaitan only wants to cause between you animosity and hatred. He wants that when you indulge in these things, what will happen to you? You will develop animosity and hatred for each other. So shaitan wants animosity and hatred among you. How? Through intoxicants and gambling. Because these things, when a person indulges in them, then do people increase in their love for one another? Never. They will never grow in their love for each other. What will happen is that they will grow apart from each other. Why? Because these things damage relationships. Yes, it is portrayed in a very glorified way on TV, but that is not how reality is. Gambling, it may seem like a lot of fun, but then what happens when a person loses $5,000? What happens when a person loses $10,000, $20,000, $100,000? Will it make him love the person who defeated him? Not at all. This is why we see that when it comes to gambling and such things, the crime rate is also very high. Why do you think there's so much security around such places or in such places? Why? Or why is it that such people who do play such games, they're always concerned, they're always afraid? Why? Because when you indulge in these games, you make more enemies than you make friends. Even people who are closest to you, your own family members, spouse, children, siblings, parents, even they distance away from a person. So these things are dirty, they are filthy. All believers, keep away from them. This is going to ruin your relationships. And one more thing that it's going to do is that shaitan wants to avert you from the remembrance of Allah and from prayer. When you indulge in this, what will happen? You will not be able to remember Allah. And you will not be able to pray. Because what happens is that when a person gets caught up in the cycle of drinking, of getting drunk, of playing such games, then what will happen? It will make him fall short in Allah's right also, in Allah's duties also. So, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. So, O believers, will you not stop? Will you stop already? Meaning stop. There are some people who, when they hear the haqq, their eyes swell with tears. They cry. Why? Because they have recognized the truth. It has penetrated deep into their hearts. And then there are some other people who hear such verses and they say, but Allah has not used the word haram. Allah has not used the word haram over here. What's the difference? The difference is that one person believes in Allah. He has fear of Allah. He loves Allah. He recognizes who Allah is. And the other person does not. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ وَاحْذَرُوا. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger and beware. And if you turn away, then know that upon our Messenger is only the responsibility for clear notification. The responsibility of change is upon you. And the Messenger has fulfilled his responsibility by conveying to you. There is not upon those who believe and do righteousness any blame concerning what they have eaten in the past. Meaning if a mistake like this has happened in the past, a person earned money through gambling, a person ate some food that was haram, a person had a drink that was unlawful in the past out of ignorance, Allah says there is no harm. As long as if they now fear Allah and believe and do righteous deeds. Meaning what matters is that after you have come to know, then what do you do? Do you bring a change in yourself or no? And then fear Allah and believe. And then fear Allah and do good. And Allah loves the doers of good. Who are the muhsineen? Whom Allah loves? Those who surrender to Allah's commands. That what Allah has instructed them, they do it. And the person who does not respond to Allah's call, then he is in grave danger. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever leaves one salah due to intoxication, and notice the word is intoxication, sukran, which is the state of intoxication, which is not just the effect of consuming alcohol. It can also be the effect of other things. So the person who leaves just one salah, why? Because of intoxication, whatever the cause may be, even once, then it is as if he had the whole world and everything in it, and it was then taken away from him. Imagine this loss. And he who leaves the salah four times due to intoxication, then it is Allah's right to make him drink from Tinatil Khabal. He was asked, what is Tinatil Khabal? And he said, the usara of the people of hell. The excretions, the bodily excretions, the pus and the blood of the people of hell, that is what he will be given to drink. And it is Allah's right to do that. Allah has all the right to do that. This is why we have to avoid such addictions and save others from it also. Because we might say that, oh no, I don't drink alcohol, alhamdulillah, I don't do any substance abuse. Is that what it's called, right? Drug abuse and all that, right? I don't do anything like that. But notice, salah is being missed because of what? The effects of intoxication. And sometimes what happens? We're not addicted to a bottle. We're not addicted to smoking. Perhaps we are addicted to watching television or our phones or talking or just having fun. And because of that addiction, what happens? We are leaving one prayer after another. We're deliberately leaving it. The phone is telling us, asr time. But then what happens? We close the app. We ignore the alert. And we go on doing what we have to do. And the next thing we know, it is time for Maghrib. This is a serious matter. Because this is Shaitan's goal. To prevent us from remembering Allah, to prevent us from prayer. So any tool that Shaitan uses to prevent us from prayer, whether it is alcohol or some other form of addiction, then that is something that we must avoid. Then we also learn in a hadith that if a person tells his friend, come and let me play for money with you. Come, let us gamble, let's have a game, and then let's see who wins, money. Then he should give something in charity. Meaning the one who even calls to gambling. The one who even calls to gambling. Then he has committed a sin. Then what is he supposed to do? Give something in charity to wipe off the effect of that sin. Again you see over here, this is the result of what? Of speaking certain words. Allah loves the speech of the one who calls others to Allah. And here, the person who calls others to disobedience to Allah, then he is committing a sin. For which the Prophet ﷺ said that a person must give sadaqah. And the Prophet ﷺ also advised women especially that they should give in charity. Why? Because of their frequent cursing and because of their ingratitude. Frequent cursing. You might find this strange, but think about it. If you compare your mother and father, or those who are married, just compare yourself with your husband. Who yells at the children more? You know the answer. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, Allah will surely test you through something of the game that your hands and spears can reach, that Allah may make evident those who fear Him in the unseen, and whoever transgresses after that, for him is a painful punishment. O you who have believed, do not kill game while you are in the state of ihram. Meaning, do not hunt while you are in the state of ihram. And whoever of you kills it intentionally, the penalty is an equivalent from sacrificial animals to what he killed, as judged by two just men among you as an offering to Allah delivered to the Kaaba, or an expiation. And what is that expiation? The feeding of needy people, or the equivalent of that in fasting, that he may taste the consequence of his deed. This fine, again, for what? The consequence of his deed. Our words, our actions, they do have effects. What happens is that we say things and we forget them. We do them and we forget them. And we forget that they have forever been recorded and written. And if we do not do something to have them wiped off, then on the Day of Judgment we will have to face them. Allah has pardoned what is past, but whoever returns to violation, then Allah will take retribution from him. And Allah is exalted in might and owner of retribution. Wallahu azizun dhuntiqam. Lawful to you is game from the sea and its food as provision for you and the travelers. But forbidden to you is game from the land as long as you are in the state of ihram. And fear Allah to whom you will be gathered. It's the fear of Allah that can really prevent a person from sin. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ You have to answer Him. You have to go back to Him. There's no running away from Allah. And He hears what you say. He sees what you do. So fear Him and leave disobedience out of His fear. Allah has made the Kaaba, the sacred house, standing for the people and has sanctified the sacred months and the sacrificial animals and the garlands by which they are identified. That is so you may know that Allah knows what is in the heavens and what is in the earth and that Allah is knowing of all things. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain things, certain places, certain times sacred, what does that show? That yes, Allah has given us free will over here, but we are not free, ultimately free in this world. No, we have to abide by certain laws, by certain rules. We have to respect them. Why? Because اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ Know that Allah is severe in penalty and that Allah is forgiving and merciful. He punishes and He forgives. Who is it that He punishes? Those who persist on sin. Those who knowingly, deliberately, consciously disobey Him. Who have had many chances, but still they keep going back to their wrong ways. And who is it that Allah is forgiving to? Those who when they do make a mistake, what do? They beg Allah for forgiveness. Therefore, one should never continue to persist on sin. And we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when we are alone. Why? Because when we will develop this fear of Allah, even when we are alone, only then can we make ourselves remain obedient to Allah. Otherwise, what will happen? Where there are certain people, where the environment is feasible, then yes, we'll be very obedient and compliant. But where we are alone, then what will happen? Obedience to Allah will also disappear. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is pleased with a shepherd of goats who calls to prayer at the peak of a mountain and offers prayer. He's all alone. With who? With just his animals. There's not even a single human being around him. Far off in the distance even, there's nobody. Such that he did not even hear the adhan. So he's all alone. And what does he do? When the time of prayer comes in, he sees, okay, it's time to pray. Nobody's around. Never mind. I'll give the adhan myself. And then he prays salah himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Look at this servant of mine. He calls to prayer and offers it. Why? Because he fears me. The only thing that made him do that is what? The fear of Allah. Because he's not being paid. He's not going to be paid if he prays. And he's not going to be fined if he does not pray. Why is he praying over there when nobody is watching him? Allah is watching him still. He's doing it out of his fear. Allah says, So I forgive him and I admit him to paradise. You see, there are many times when there are people who will call us to prayer, who will tell us to do something good. Many times we rely on others. You call me, you invite me, you remind me, you wake me up. You tell me to go sit in the Quran class, we're waiting, we're depending on others. What does that show? That we lack fear of Allah. We lack the desire to please Allah. Because when we truly fear Allah, when we truly fear something, and when we truly have a sincere desire to get some benefit, then we do not need reminders. Then we do not need other people to keep telling us, go and sit, go and listen, go and read, go and pray, go and do this, wake up already, it's getting late. No. The person who fears Allah, the person who wants Allah's pleasure, even when he is alone in the desert, in a mountain, what will he do? When the time of prayer will come, he will get up himself and decide himself that I have to pray right now. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It's my duty to Allah. It is my step to draw closer to Allah. And such people are the ones who earn Allah's forgiveness and His Jannah. مَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ Not upon the messenger is responsibility except for notification. The Prophet is only instructed to convey. And Allah knows whatever you reveal and whatever you conceal. So He knows what we do, and Allah is going to judge us. So we should stop fearing people, and we should start fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should stop desiring to please people, and we should aspire to please Allah azza wa jalla.